A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Tech 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Nun Vav, Avodah Zarah 56a, pagination is 111. We're dealing with the process of winemaking. And the reason that it's discussed over here is because we have a concept that if an idol worshiper would touch the wine, would move the wine in a certain way, it would invalidate the wine from being kosher. So our focus is to understand the winemaking process and to know when is it called wine exactly. Because we understand it's not just a magical moment that is clear. There's a process in which it transforms from being the juice inside the grapes to finally being palatable wine. And there are many steps in that process as it proceeds. Initially, it still has sediment with it. Eventually, it becomes what we know as wine. So at what point in the process is the issue of Yayin Nesech going to start being applicable? So we're not focused in this session on the halachas. We're learning a Gemara. Many of the shittas that are presented are not necessarily la halacha, but they will all help us in understanding the process and appreciating the steps that are involved. So I'm going to start actually turning back one page, Nunhei Amad Aleph, pagination 109, on the very last lines, the last line in the beginning of the line. Yorad Lebor. If the liquid has already gone down into the pit, Masha Bebor Osur, what's in the pit, would become forbidden if it was touched by this idol worshiper. Fasha'or Mutter. And everything else that's further up in the process is going to be permitted because it wasn't touched by the idol worshiper and it didn't come in contact with the wine that became forbidden. So we have this statement, and clearly it indicates that there was an upper area, as we can well imagine, that the grapes were put in. And then there was some sort of pressing that was done on them, perhaps with a utensil, perhaps with people walking on it. In some cultures, even animals walking on it. And then the liquid would drip down or flow down into the lower holding area, which was called the bor, the pit. Let's turn over to what is the facing page of today's daf, Nunhei Amid Beis, pagination 110. And in the beginning of the Gemara, about six lines down, Omer Rav Huna said, Yayin, wine, Kevin Shehischa Lihi Mashaych, once it starts flowing, Ose Yayin Nesach, that's going to be the situation of Yayin Nesach concern. So that once the liquid has been emitted from the grapes, and it's not sitting in a vat, but it starts flowing, that's going to be the case of Yayin Nesach. So Rashi tells us, it's midway in the Rashis, Shahagasa Suya Bimadron, this pressing area was made on a slope, and once the liquid starts flowing from the upper area to the lower area, it's called wine. Let's move on to today's daf, Nunvav Amad Aleph, and we'll take a look at Rashi, who does a synopsis of what the Gemara suggests might be three different opinions regarding wine and Yayin Nesach. Rashi can be found three lines up from the bottom of the Rashis. Talosa Tanno'ihi. It could be that it's three different opinions. Tana didon savar, the Tana of our Mishnah holds Misha Yorad Libor when the liquid goes into the pit. Ulurabanon, and according to the rabbis of the other source, Misha Yikfe Bibor, when they start separating the things that float to the top and can be scooped off, different types of irregularities as far as wine goes. So once that separation occurs and you get that material on the top and you could scoop it off, so that's going to be the time when it's called wine. Ulu Rabbi Akiva Misha Yishle. And according to Rabbi Akiva, once it's scooped out of this and put into the barrels, which was the next step. Let's turn the page. And starting from the second line on Nun Vav Amud Beis. Masha Bebor Osov Asha'ar Mutter. Quoting from the Mishnah with which we began, that what's in the pit, that's the lower area, is forbidden if it was contacted by this idol worshiper, but the top part is going to be permitted because it never came in contact with the forbidden part that's in the lower area. Amar Rav Huna said, Lo Shanu, we did not learn this, meaning this only applies if you take something into consideration. Gargutni legas. If you did not return what's in the sieve basket to the pressing area. Aval hichsir gargutni legas osur. But if you did return what's in the sieve basket into the pressing area, osur. It's going to be forbidden even though it's in the upper area, but it already came in contact with the problem. So let's understand, as I said, the winemaking process. Apparently, from the top area where things were pressed, the wine would flow, the liquid would flow, through a sieve basket. And that would assist in making sure that what's going through into the lower area called the bor, the pit, is going to be liquid and not the skins and the pits and whatever else is there, stems. If, Rav Huna says, they took what was in the sieve basket and dumped it back into the pressing area, which they apparently did periodically, then that's a game changer. Because according to the Mishnah, the top part remains kosher, even if the bottom part was touched by an idol worshiper, and if at some point they either wanted to pull things out of the top part or clear out the bottom part and do the continuation of the pressing, they would be able to get kosher wine. Says Rav Huna, that's all true. The bottom part is a problem if it was touched by the idol worshiper, and the top part is fine, provided that they did not take this sieve basket and dump it back into the top part. But if they did dump it into the top part, then the top part shall also be considered non-kosher, just like the bottom part. That's considered our act of transfer, of contact, and it creates a problem in the top part. Asks the Gemara, Gargutni gufa b'maika mitzira. How did the basket become forbidden? The basket really should be considered part of the top part. Why is what's in the basket considered non-kosher just because someone touched the bottom holding area called the bar? Answers the Gemara, Benitzok, perhaps we can conclude that the stream itself causes a non-kosher status. The stream of liquid going through the basket to the bottom area, which is now non-kosher because it was touched by an idol worshiper, even though it's counter-gravity, even though it never actually touched in a very physical sense. But since the same stream of water is touching both of them, what's in the basket becomes non-kosher. Shema mina, we can conclude, if that's your answer to me, nitzak chibur. Apparently, a stream is considered a connection. And this comes up in different areas, including mikvaos. If there's contact from one body of water to another through a stream, is that considered a connection? The Gemara answers, Kedetani Rabchia, do not prove the rules of Nitzok, of the stream, being a connection, because I have a different answer for you. And that is, Shepichsaso Boro, that the flow here backed up, and the pit actually had its liquid coming in contact with the basket. And we could just picture the winemaking process, that it's supposed to be more of a flow, but eventually the pit might get so full that the top level of liquid is actually touching the basket. And at that point, as Rashi explains, Shenismale habor ad shehigia hayayin, the liquid in the bar got so full that the wine that's in the pit, v'tofach b'shuli hargurgutni, that it actually touched the bottom of the basket, and that's what made what's in the basket non-kosher, and that's what Rav Huna came to teach us, that everything is fine in the upper area, because it's flowing downwards, and it's moving along, and we're not worried, whatever his considerations were, unless you took what's in the basket and you dumped it back in. Because at that point, since it made contact with the bottom area that's non-kosher, the top part would result, would obtain that same status. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.